A reading from Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, Cry out! And I said, What shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, Here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Ann Turner was diagnosed with an aggressive but early stage breast cancer. And she writes about how this diagnosis sent her into exile from her former life. Cancer brings all kinds of struggle, she says in an essay for the Christian Century magazine. Describing chemo's side effects, her weakened immune system, and fatigue that put me to bed before it was dark out. But perhaps the hardest loss, she says, was my hair. It was public and strangely shaming. Having spent time with members of my own family, my close family, who are living with cancer right now, I can attest to the ways that this disease and its treatment are a disorienting, bizarre, life-altering, all-consuming estrangement from what used to be known as normal life. Any of you experienced this with a loved one? The Babylonian exile was to the Hebrew people what cancer and chemo are to individuals. A massive interruption which leaves them forever changed. After generations of prophetic warning and centuries of unfaithful rulers, the Assyrian Empire defeated the ancient northern country of Israel. Jerusalem itself survived the invasion, but when Babylonians overtook the Assyrians some years later, they went right on going and conquered Jerusalem itself, the capital city, after a two-year siege. In the aftermath, all the muckety-mucks, all the higher-ups, the princes, governors, leaders, and judges were forcibly deported to the capital city of Babylon. There they were kept in exile for 70 years, long enough to have children and grandchildren, but never to see their homes again. They were like Native Americans, perhaps to this day, forced from their land and denied their culture for generation after generation. The exiles died in Babylon knowing that their people had been conquered and their nation removed from the ancient maps. There was no future, they believed, with Yahweh, the God of the Israelites. All was now Babylon. But today we hear the prophet Isaiah cry out, It's not over, folks. That's not all. Comfort. Oh, comfort, my people. There is life after Babylon. Isaiah would say, God has not forgotten the exiles. In the wilderness of captivity and disaster, Isaiah sees a new road is being laid. Valleys will be lifted up there. Mountains brought low. This is the ancient form of road construction, perhaps. Uneven ground made smooth and rough places made plain, Isaiah sees in prophecy. Freedom and justice and righteousness will be at hand after generations of bitter trauma for the people in exile. Maybe I'm the only one, but it feels like we're in something of an exile time as a community now. I mean, the way we feel like we're in exile for our continuing lack of justice or repair for the descendants of American slaves, even centuries later. 400 years of government-sanctioned, church-blessed slavery and its aftermath have created generational inequality that we still live with and see even worsening in education and housing, employment, and incarceration rates. White people in America, like myself, are only beginning to see the shackles of discrimination which continue to keep black and brown neighbors in hidden chains. We are in exile. And yet, oh comfort, comfort my people, says your God. The planet itself also bears the feverish marks of this wilderness time. Since the Industrial Revolution 250 years ago, humans have been sending massive amounts of pollution into the air, the earth, and the water. We've racked up environmental debts that will last, science tells us, for hundreds of years. And the interest on that debt is starting to weigh heavily on our community and on our civilization. Superstorms assault our coastlines, and island nations are swallowed up by the sea. As once in a century, floods drown our cities and farmland nearly every year now. The garden of God's good creation has caught a terrible fever, and it convulses for relief. We are in exile, and yet comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. The overlapping nature of these grievances, among many others that we know of and could name, may make it seem like there is no hope. Our problems mount up, and while human ingenuity can take us a certain distance, we still come up short against all the threats against our life together. I'm starting to believe it will take nothing more than a spiritual transplant in the whole body politic for human beings to learn to treat others, those of all races, as made in the image of God, or to undo the climate catastrophe that is growing around us. No wonder Isaiah looks out at the people of his own time and says, "All people are like grass. And their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, and even the best individuals or leaders cannot save us from exile alone." Surely the people are grass, Isaiah says, here today, gone tomorrow. Well, how's that for hope? Yet in the very next breath, Isaiah continues from that point. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Forever. In other words, there is no evil so powerful that God's will cannot restore it eventually. No far country of exile in which God is unable to rescue. Babylon will be busted, Isaiah says. Because the word of our God stands forever, and that word is comfort. Oh, comfort my people. There is salvation from exile, even if perhaps it won't come from our own hands. God will prepare a way in the thorniest wilderness, making a way where there seems to be no way. What may look to us now like dead ends and ditches will be revealed as divine detours, leading to new paths of peace. Then, Isaiah says, then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. Our calling as God's people in the meantime, between here and there, is where this morning's passage goes for its conclusion. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Do not fear. God will prepare the road of possibility in face of peril. And we are enlisted as messengers, as peace proclaimers along the way, along the road. Messengers like us. Messengers can attend events with and for people who are different from us, learning other life experiences, experiencing ourselves the bridges between parts of humanity. Messengers can dig deeply into the contested histories of racism and white privilege and learn its current effects among us, as we will do as a congregation, reading Waking Up White during Lent this coming year. Messengers like us can use our daily practices to be less harmful to the earth by using transit or walking more, using less energy or diverting waste from landfills or the ocean. Messengers know that the comfort, oh comfort, Isaiah promises, is not just covering over with a rug the sweeping troubles that are before us. That only leads to the hazards we're tripping over now if we just turn the other way. Comfort instead comes by proclaiming the peace of God in our words and in our actions. As those who trust in God's salvation, we are called to be messengers, heralds of good tidings, prophets and messengers of another way, God's way of peace. Ann Turner, where we started, who lost her hair to cancer treatments, describes the slow process afterwards of her hair's return. Chemo ended just after Christmas, she writes. It was 4 months before the stubble lengthened into legitimate hair. I left my wig at home on Easter morning. Christ is risen and so is my hair. I announced, my hair was back. I was back. Except there was no back, she says. My hair twisted into gray, springy wires unlike any hair I'd ever grown before. Those who have seen a return from cancer know sometimes this happens. I have returned to health, Ann Turner writes, but I will be a stranger to myself for some time. This disorientation, this bewilderment, they are the terms of repatriation to my life. Christians gather on the road from exile to return, in the presence of the word of the Lord, which endures forever. The exiles we pass through in our day, whether at the hands of cancer or Babylon or any of our current ills or others that you're meditating on in your heart, those exiles will not leave us unchanged. We may not recognize ourselves on the other side. God promises a new world for us, marked by the ways of Christ. That new future, which we can barely envision, may even feel like wilderness, while we wrestle with the blessings to be found therein. Yet no matter what exile exists, now or in the days and years to come, God will be there also, laying a highway of peace for our God. Praise be. Amen.